Sit down if you're a youngster. What's this, my introductory music? Thank you, Paul. Well, I think everybody went beyond the gold this week, don't you? And certainly this morning, everybody went beyond the gold. There are about 50 of us that were volunteering. I want to say thank you to everybody and all of you in the on the sides that perhaps would like to be involved but had other commitments, that you prayed for us. Thank you. I think everybody went beyond the goal. But there are two people in particular that I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say thank you. And thank you too. And those are obviously Ruth Chamberlain and Anina Anand. So I just want you to just recognize them. There's Ruth. Where's Anina? Okay, you have permission to sleep for the rest of the week. Well, as you know, this week's theme was Beyond the Gold. And as we heard earlier, the reason why the UW team worked on that theme was because of the Olympic Games, which started yesterday. We've been living and breathing them. And the next 2 weeks, if we're interested in sports, we'll spend all our time catching up with the Olympics whenever we can. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Well, the ancient Olympic Games started 800 years before Christ and went on until 400 years after Christ and held in Olympia, Greece. The modern Olympic Games started in 1896. They've been held every year since then, every 4 years, I should say, since then in the summer, except for 3 years, 1916, 1940, 1944. Because the world was otherwise preoccupied with the two world wars, unfortunately. This year, over 10,600 athletes will be competing in 36 different sports disciplines for 302 gold medals. At least that's what I figured out when I tried to figure it out this week. 302 gold medals. And the initial budget that the UK is spending on the Olympic Games is $15 billion. It'll be much more than that, we know. But that's what they approved, $15 billion. And if you do the math, that works out at $1.5 million per athlete. $1.5 million per athlete and $50 million per gold medal. Have to ask yourself, why is it that as a society we would spend $50 million per gold medal? Well, at first blush, I'd say it's because we're fascinated with ourselves. We're fascinated with the human body, and of course, we love competition. And it's great to see who's the fastest in the world at a given sport, or which is the best team in team sports. And we love it. Every 4 years, we enjoy watching competition. And so we're prepared as a society to spend huge amounts of money. I was wondering to myself this week, if you could get to the gold medalist just before, say, he ran the final, and let's say he knew he was going to win the gold and we knew he was going to win the gold, and we said this to him, you know what, instead of running the race and instead of winning the gold, here's $50 million. Do you think that he or she would take it? Many would. I mean, it's the proverbial game changer, isn't it? $50 million. It's not pocket change. But I believe that most athletes at that particular point, having done all of their training, would say, no, that's okay. I prefer to run the race and see if I can get the gold medal. Because the gold medal is a beautiful thing, but it's more than just the gold. It's the prestige and privilege of being the fastest in the world or the best in the world. Well, I got a picture for you to look at, which is the 2012 Olympic gold medal. That one is down, so we'll look this way. Pretty beautiful, isn't it? Would you like to win a gold medal like that? Yeah. Yeah, I know I would, certainly. And we do that because it looks beautiful, but I think just as importantly, probably more importantly, is because it represents the fact that we're the very best in a given sports discipline. Now, the memory verse this week comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, the Corinthians. And at the time that Paul wrote the letter, the Corinthian people would have well known about the Olympic Games that I described earlier, but I found out this week that they also had their own games. About 7 miles out of Corinth, they also had some games called the Isthmian Games, if that's how you say it. It's on the Isthmus. So it's called the Isthmian Games. If you've got a lisp, it's particularly difficult to say, isn't it? The Isthmian Games. And if you won the events in the Olympics or the Isthmian Games, you would not receive a gold medal. You would receive something like this. Would you like to win one of those?
No.
Not really. But that's what they got. It was made of leaves and sort of twisted together. And they didn't put it through that round their neck. They put it on their heads like this. Anyone know who that is? It's Michael Phelps, right? And he got 8 gold medals. He's got his gold medal and presumably got 8 laurel wreaths. Which one do you think he prefers, by the way? The gold medals, that's right. So Paul was writing to a group of people who would know a lot about the games, and he would be able to use language like our memory verse in order for some lessons to be taught. And I want to just pick those out a little bit. It's a pretty easy verse to understand. It's not such an easy verse or verses to memorize, is it? You did an awesome job this week. I'm genuinely impressed. And there are all kinds of signals that went with it, signage that went with it to help you remember. But it's pretty easy. Every 3-year-old, I submit, knows what a race is. By the time you're 3, you know what a race is. Probably before you're 3, you know what a prize is, right? But does every 3-year-old know that only one person gets the prize? Not these days. Everybody gets the prize for thinking about participating in a race. But every 3-year-old should know that only one person gets the prize. And then Paul tells us that we are to do these things, live our lives in such a way as to get the prize. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about that. One of the ways in which that happens is for us to go into strict training like an athlete. We learned, even this morning, we were reminded of teamwork, perseverance, respect, sacrifice, and strategy, which was on the 5th day. We didn't spend too much time remembering that. Those are some of the requirements of strict training. So I have a question for anybody, young or old. How many of you actually had a realistic chance of winning a gold medal? I know there are some. Come on. No? All right. It so happens I have. When I was 18 years old, I was graduating from high school, and I was sent with 3 other people to the national championships for rowing. Some of you don't know exactly what that is, so I'm going to show a picture. We rowed in a Coxless 4. Doesn't seem to be particularly well in focus. Not quite sure why, but Coxless 4 goes in that direction. And those who row are looking backwards. One of the few sports that you look backwards rather than forwards. It's kind of hard if you're always looking backwards rather than forwards. And that's coxless, which means it doesn't have anybody in the boat who's specially there to guide the boat. So the bowman, the person on the far right, who's at the front of the boat, on his foot there's a little mechanism where he can move the rudder. So he has to keep looking back, checking that they're on course. He's got some other things in a race like this to help him because there's buoys along the way to keep us straight. That's what a coxless four is. Do you think teamwork is involved in rowing? Yeah, do you think you have to be in pretty strict training to be able to do that? I think so. I remember it well. Well, we had to row for 1,500 meters, which is more or less a mile. And part of the strategy of rowing, as you can imagine, is to get off to as fast a start as you can. Because if you can nudge ahead of the competition, what happens? You get to see them. You get to sit in front of them, and you're rowing away, and you can see how everyone else is doing. So we put all of our efforts into rowing as fast as we could, all of our training get together. I'd been rowing for 5 years as a schoolboy, and we got the silver medal. We lost by 4 feet, and Radley College represented Britain in the World Championships, Junior Championships of rowing that year. Do you think if we had trained a little bit harder, we might have won? I think so. I'm not sure how we would have done it, because we were training pretty hard, but I think for 4 feet, a little bit stricter training, a little bit more training, and we might have won. And Paul is saying, run the race, participate in life, as though you were going to win the prize. So Nowadays, we get prizes for participating in the race or even just signing up for the race. We seem to get prizes. But as you know, in the Olympics, there's only one gold. And you have to train as hard as you can in order for that to be the case. So I want to talk a little bit about the second half of the verse. Paul says, they do it. Remember the actions? They do it in order to win a prize that does not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Now you understand why he uses the word crown, right? You saw the wreath. That was what the prize was. Do you think that wreath lasted very long?
No.
I don't think so. Maybe they had some way of preserving it, but I would think within a few months or maybe a couple of years, it would look pretty tired and tatty and worn out and withered up. So he's saying, well, they're competing for a prize that won't last for very long, but we're competing for a prize, a crown that will last forever. What is the crown that will last forever? What is Paul referring to? Heaven. Everlasting life with God. The Bible teaches us that we can have eternal life. And I want to make clear what Paul is saying and what he's not saying. So those of you who know the Bible knows that it's not how we run the race that gets us the prize of eternal life. I will explain a little bit about what Paul means. But the Bible is very clear that the way in which we receive the prize, the crown of life, is by believing that Jesus is the answer to our sin problem. Now, some of you, maybe all of you, heard on Thursday evening a very simple explanation. Jesus sacrificed himself in order that we might live. I'll say that again. Jesus died and sacrificed his life in order that we might not get the death we deserve, but a life that we don't deserve. And how do we do that? By believing in him. So the person from UW that I was with said it like this. There's an ABC backwards. C is you confess the fact that you have a sin problem. B, you believe that Jesus is the answer to that sin problem. And A means that you accept him as our Lord and Savior. That's how you get the eternal life. So what might Paul have been saying when he said, run the race as if to get the prize? How do we borrow from the understanding of the athlete that goes into strict training? I think what Paul is trying to say is that having received the gift of eternal life, which is absolutely free by God's grace, we're not expected to sit around with our feet up and wait for heaven to come. We are expected to follow Jesus, to live by his commands and obey what he has to say to us. And by so doing, we will concentrate on what it means to be a Christian, to have been changed from the inside out, and we will live in a different kind of way than we would do if we just accepted it as a free gift. I'd like to read a few verses from Apostle Peter's letter. It's quite long, but I'm not going to say much about it because it brings out these very same themes. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed that withers and dies and crumbles, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. And then he quotes the Old Testament. For all men are like grass or reeds made of leaves, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So there is something beyond the gold medals of this life. First, there's a reward of eternal life, the crown of life itself. And secondly, all that God has in store for those who diligently live out their lives for Him. If there's anyone in this room who's not sure if they died tonight, whether they have that crown of life, I'd sure invite you to come and talk to me or one of the elders afterwards. I'd love to spend a little bit of time explaining it in more detail. But if you do know that if you died tonight, you would have that everlasting life, then accept what Paul is saying. Remain in strict training. Be diligent about living your life in order to gain the prize, something beyond the goal. I've asked Jeff to come up and just close out our week together before we go into time of worship and pray for us. Sorry.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for being with the campers and being with the staff this week. Lord, we acknowledge the fact that without you, we wouldn't have been able to do much. But with your Spirit, pretty cool things happened. And Lord, we also saw a lot of kids this week. Well, a little bit like a kid who watches the Olympics. They can watch it and see what's going on and be intrigued by it and think to themselves, wow, I'd like to be able to do that when I grow up. And Lord, we saw little sparks grow in these kids' lives that led them to think, wow, I'd like to run the race marked out for me so that I could win the prize. And Father, I pray that as we move forward, that you would help each and every one of us to help these kids so that they would realize that goal. Father, I pray that you would bring people that know you into their lives that could serve almost as spiritual trainers so that they might be able to be better equipped to run the race that you call them to run. Lord, I pray that you would make them yourself real to them so that they might see the calling and know how you want them to run the race. And Father, I just pray that you would help each and every one of us to remember them in prayer so that we might continually be supporting them. That in the end, these kids would have, beyond the gold medal, golden crowns representing their relationship with you and eternal life. Thank you. We look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.